ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading this morning from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 53, which is entitled Krishna Kidnaps Rukmini, text number 44 and 45 on the verse written as Asadhya Devi Sadanam Dhauta Pada Kara Ambuja Upasprisha शुचिः शान्ता प्रविवेश अम्बिका अन्तिकम् आसाद्य देवी सदनम् धौतपादकराम्बुजा उपस्पृश्य शुचिः शान्ता प्रविवेशाम्बिकान्तिकम् आसाद्य देवी सदनम् धौतपादकराम्बुजा उपस्पृश्य शुचिः शान्ता प्रविवेशाम्बिकान्तिकम् आसाद्य देवी सदनम् धौतपादकराम्बुजा उपस्पृश्य शुचिः शान्ता प्रविवेशाम्बिकान्तिकम्।
आसाद्य देवी सदनम् धौतपादकराम्बुजा शुचिःशान्ता प्रविवेशाम्बिकान्तिकम्।
लेडीज,
आसाद्य देवी सदनम् धौतपादकराम्बुजा उपस्पृश्य शुचिः शान्ता प्रविवेशाम्बिकान्तिकम्। आसाद्य देवी सदनम् धौतपादकराम्बुजा उपस्पृश्य शुचिः शान्ता
Asadhya, reaching. Devi, of the goddess. Sadanam, the residence. Dhauta, washing. Pada, her feet. Kara, and hands. Ambuja, lotus-like. Upasprisha, sipping water for purification. Shuchihi, sanctified. Shanta, peaceful. Pravivesha, she entered. Ambika Antikam, the presence of Ambika. Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Upon reaching the goddess's temple, Rukmini first washed her lotus feet and hands and then sipped water for purification. Thus sanctified and peaceful, she came into the presence of Mother Ambika. There is no purport to this verse, so we will read the next verse and its purport. Text 45. Tam vai pravayaso balam vidhitnya viprayoshitah भवानीं वंदयाम चक्रुर भवपत्नीं भवान्विताम। The older wives of Brahmanas, expert in the knowledge of rituals, led young Rukmini in offering respects to Bhavani, who appeared with her consort, Lord Bhava. Purport. According to the Acharyas, here the term Bhavanvitam indicates that in the Ambika temple visited by Rukmini, the presiding deity was the goddess whose husband appeared in an accompanying role. Thus the ritual was properly performed by women. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that the term Vidhignyaha may be understood to mean that since the learned wives of Brahmanas knew of Rukmini's desire to marry Krishna, the verb Vandayam Chakruhu thus indicates that they prompted her to pray for what she really wanted. In this way, like the goddess Bhavani, Rukmini could be united with her eternal male companion. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Panghum Langhayate Girim Yatkrapatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Shri Chaitanyaishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are continuing our narration from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam on the Rukmini Haran and the Rukmini Vivaha Prasanga, on the kidnapping of Rukmini from Vidarbha, from the clutches of Rukmi and Shishupal. And this is the climax scene now. So somehow or the other, I sometimes used to wonder why these stories come in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, someone's love affair, love stories, kidnapping, getting married, fighting, you know. Sometimes it's kind of things in our mind, why do these stories happen in the Srimad Bhagavatam? But these stories anyways happen in the real world, you know. Love stories are just common. Novels have love stories. Movies have love stories. Real life has love stories. Constantly, all over the world, we find such a powerful emotion of the attraction between a man and a woman. And these novels and movies sell the most. Imagine if in a movie there is Bhagavatam class. Who will want to watch a Bhagavatam class in a movie? No one wants to watch a video where, you know, someone is speaking, sitting quietly, you know, says in the Bhagavatam it says, in the Gita it says, distribute books. Who wants to listen to all this stuff? Anyone goes for a movie, everyone's waiting when the hero will come, when the first song will be sung. And I don't know how they suddenly get the words for the song in the movie. I mean, it takes so long to compose a poem, but in a movie, hero comes and composes and sings also. There is no play, no one needed to compose the song or anything. My God, all the jokes, all the humor, I don't know, it's all so much centered around this. Love, affairs, marriage, man, woman, action, violence, kidnapping, the brother opposes, the father opposes, then she runs away. Or he runs away. Something constantly going on. You know. And the best scene is when everything is in opposition and the hero comes and snatches the heroine from the villain and goes. That's what's happening here now. You know. So quite a movie plot actually. quite a movie plot. And things, relationships in this world to break like anything. Marriage relationships, love relationships, it doesn't materialize into marriage, breaks like anything. One lady was about to get married to a man, and the man was boasting to the lady. He said, Mere pitaji itne bade hai ki sab, such a man that sab bade bade log bhi unke samne katori leke khade rehte. So then the girl asked, aapke pitaji kya karte hain? Said, pani puri bechte hain. So everyone holds a groan and stands in front and with a katori in the hand. My God. What all people will do to make their match go through? What people won't do to get their relationship go through? My God. But what's beautiful about the Srimad Bhagavatam is this incredible range of emotions are all here. Cinematoscope. Full cinema. 100% cinema. From comedy to tragedy. From finance to romance. From passion to compassion. Name the emotion and it's here. Name the story and it's here. You know. We are going and paying so much money to watch on a big screen. The lady is paying 100 rupees to get a cinema ticket and watching and crying. And the lady who is acting in the movie and crying, the heroine, she took 100 crores to cry. You know, so one lady is paying 100 rupees and crying, and she is getting 100 crores to cry in the movie. Aur hum log bhi ja ke baithe. People are giving handkerchief to each other, thoda aank pocho. One person in Bahrain, I went to Bahrain, Balram Desh, and one man became a devotee. And can you imagine how people become devotees? It's most stunning. Most stunning. He's from Bombay actually originally, now settled there. This man was such a movie fan, he would go into the movie theaters for a movie, and somehow for him, every single time there would be an elderly lady sitting there crying. And someone would say, you know, bichara, bichari, like that people, you know, in the movie theater also talk as if everything real. He got so frustrated, he said, no movie again. And he got a book of Srila Prabhupada. And see, the biggest movie is in his life now. Srimad Bhagavatam with a wide range of emotions. So we see a love story happening in a novel, in a movie, and we see a love story and a marriage happening in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The difference is that somehow or the other, because these stories are connected to the Supreme Lord Krishna, the mundane nature of the stories is lost. Otherwise, any of these emotions have a mundane side to it. And only when Krishna connection comes, then the mundane side is gone. Till then, whether we work in our office, whether we run a family, whether we are a brahmachari or a grihastha or a whoever, it doesn't matter. Till the time Krishna doesn't come, there is always only one prominent thing in life, and that is the mundane side. But as soon as Krishna comes and becomes a prominent part of whatever we do, then the mundane side is gone. It becomes highly spiritual. And in our Udupi Yatra, His Holiness Pejavar Swami of the Udupi Mutt was mentioning that somehow or the other, you see the law of gravity in this world. You put anything, it will just come down. Actually fell down. You put anything, I didn't drop it. You put anything in the air and you drop it, it will come down. The nature of earth is attraction. The law of gravity is attraction. It pulls everything down. Nothing in this world goes up. That is the law of gravity. Powerful attraction which drags things down. On the other hand, Krishna, if anyone gets attracted to Krishna, Krishna's gravity is if he pulls things up. You know? And therefore, Krishna's law of gravity is if we are attracted to anything of this world, our consciousness is dragged down. You know, I know someone here in Bombay, somehow they had a love affair, a guy and a girl, and then they broke apart, and the other new boyfriend of the girl murdered this fellow. Murdered him. This is attraction? Is this attraction? That out of love and affection, so-called display of love and affection, you murder another person? Innocent person? Murdered. This is the nature of attraction of this world. People to get a position, so much attraction to a seat, and just to be attracted to the seat and to hold on and grab it, what pits of depravity will people not fall to?
what they will not do? Backbiting, criticizing, politicizing, just to grab the seat and get the seat? To get money, greed. What will people not do? Because they're so much attracted by the money, the facility and the comfort that comes along with the money, what will people not do? Look at the world. Look at the world, look at the newspapers, look at the television channels. It's replete with examples of people who are attracted by the things of people of this world. And when that attraction is mundane, the law of gravity works, not just physically, but even mentally and spiritually. Our values, our ethics, our goodness, our principles, our morals just come down, and we are dragged down to do things that are unmentionable. On the other hand, when we see people attracted to Krishna, the object of all attraction, akarshayati iti Krishnaha, and when we are attracted to Krishna, we see how Krishna pulls people up. People who are doing all kinds of nonsense, now stop it to be transformed. People who are doing all kinds of wrong things, now stop it to be cooperative, to be loving, to be kind, to be hospitable, to be sharing, to be caring, to be loving. You know? And therefore, the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam, same stories, love stories, marriage stories, violence stories, same stories. But when the stories happen outside, they drag us down. And when the stories happen in this book, they drag our consciousness up. Even a love story. How many of you felt envious that, you know, Krishna was kidnapping Rukmini? Genuinely raise your hands. How many young men here who are not married felt envious? Arey, Rukmini ko leke ja raha hai, mera chance nahi aaya, mera number nahi laga. Anyone feels like that? No one feels like that. Because it uplifts and purifies our consciousness. On the other hand, you see someone else in the college, one guy with another girl, he says, Arey, mera kya? People think like that. You know? And therefore, Krishna adds that quality which purifies us and uplifts us. Therefore, these stories, these narrations, these kathas are the utmost benediction to mankind. Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalmashapaham shravana mangalam shrimadatatam bhuvi grinantiye bhuridajana. Magnanimous is that Lord who gives us these subjects for our submissive oral reception. And magnanimous are the great souls like Srila Prabhupada who carry these narrations to these most magnanimous offerings of these books to give it to the world so that our attraction, which drags us down, turns to attraction, which pulls us up. And therefore Srila Prabhupada said, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. As we listen to the narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we cannot help but feel transformed. If we are submissively hearing genuinely, not to sit here and hear, ye kaun speaker bol raha hai? Ye kaun hai? Isko to bolne aata nahi hai. You know, we are thinking sometimes this is boring. We've heard this story so many times. What is he speaking? He's not cracking any joke. He's not making any humor. He's just speaking deep philosophy. What's the point of listening to such a class? We'll only go when the class is given by such and such speaker. Then it doesn't work. The Bhagavat works when we give submissive oral reception to whoever sits on this dais and speaks, because the Bhagavat has the potency to purify and transform and uplift our consciousness, because it brings Krishna into picture. And thus, we should hear these narrations. And even if the narration is apparently repeated, the same, doesn't matter. It purifies our consciousness like anything. Actually speaking, I don't have much to say on this story. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj has spoken so much, all the have elaborately given classes, and then all our brahmacharis, our Gopinath Chandra Prabhu, what a class he gave on behavioral psychology and Rukmini. I was thinking, my God, you know. And Chaitanya Charan Prabhu and so many other devotees have spoken so much, ki abhi kya bole? I was wondering, what do you speak on the story of Rukmini yesterday? Or Hare Krishna Prabhu spoke, gave a fantastic class. I'm thinking, abhi bolne ke liye bacha kya hai? Hana? But I said, anyway, whatever I've heard from these great souls only, I'll try and repeat it. This particular story in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastime of Rukmini Devi, gives us very important messages. And the first message is that of choice. All of us are constantly confronted with choices. How many of you have been to a mall to buy clothes? Okay. How many of you have had confusion in which one to choose? Brahmacharis have no problem. Same color, same style every day. Even in that, one guy in London asked me, branded, sir? I said, dhoti kurta kahan se branded? Our is what that? Vrindavan ka, what, I don't know where we get it from. Lohi Basar brand. My God. You go to buy clothes, you are confronted with such confusions. How to choose? Isn't it? And if students are here, you want to choose a course and a career, aren't you confused? So many people are confused. Should I be an engineer? Should I be a doctor? Should I be a lawyer? Or should I be nothing and just be a brahmachari? Confused. By the way, we don't take unqualified dropouts in our ashram. If any case anyone was thinking like that. Confirmed. My God, some of them are thinking, what's going to happen to us? People are confused about which movie to watch. There's so many in the market. Should we go to Haider? People are confused. What choice to make? My God. What to eat? Such a confusion. You know, you go to some place where they have chappan bhog, like at Govinda Juhu. 56 items there. Your stomach is the size of a fish, this big. So much confusion. What to choose? There are 23 desserts. Which one to take? And everyone looks, wow, so appealing. You know, we are always, all the time, confronted by choices. Life is nothing but choices. I don't think you can define life any better than this. A moment by moment choice. We are constantly choosing. Choosing between gadgets, choosing through courses, through our clothes, through food to eat, which movie to watch, where to go to for a vacation. Constantly choosing. You know? Quite amazing. And on what basis do we make our choice? We make our choice only on the basis of two things. First is attraction. Why do we choose one phone over the other? Because it is very attractive. Why do we choose one place over the other for vacation? Because it is very attractive. Why does a man choose one lady over other for her wife? Hope, I don't know, but maybe she is attractive. Maybe she is attractive. Maybe, I don't know. But you know, people make these choices constantly based on attraction, you know. And it doesn't even last for too long, many times. That hype. Phones, people are so crazy, God. You travel all over the world, people are just so crazy. Now this iPhone 6 has come in the market and people are like, mad. Mad, not available in India. Out of stock. Out of stock, and I was thinking it's a phone or a phona. So big, it doesn't even go into the ear. One man purchased an iPhone 6 and he put it in his pocket. New. And he's walking. And while walking, he fell down hard and there was a crack sound. And he prayed, my dear Lord, please, not the phone, the bone. I just purchased the phone, paying such a huge amount of money, can't be the phone, better be the bone, you know, fracture chalega phone naturally. How much we are overwhelmed by things that attract us. We choose things that are attractive. We choose to be with people who attract us. We choose to be in the company which like makes us feel good. And the second basis of making a choice is reasoning. Something may be attractive, but may not be good. You know? So something may seem extremely attractive. But our reasoning tells us, no, this is not good. I have heard like this. People have told like this. So I don't think this is a good choice to make. So I will not make a choice like that. So whether it's a gadget, whether it's a place for vacation, whether it's a pair of clothes, whether it's a movie, whether it's a life partner, whether it's food to eat, our choice is based on two primary things. Attraction or reasoning, and sometimes probably a combination of both. And how do we get attracted, or how do we get that reasoning? By hearing we get attracted. How many people who buy an iPhone 6 have a first hand experience of what it feels like? But someone tells, arey kya phone hai, ekdam aisa halka lagta hai jaise kabutar ka pankh. happening. You know? People tell like that. You know? Aur aisa processor na uske andar, that processor speed, oh, so fast. Fast se kya Mars pe jana hai? The processor is so fast, but you have to go on Mars with that phone or what? You know? My God. How much we hear? How many of you have realized that many things that we choose is based on people told us and we were attracted? Thank you. How many people have told you, ye hotel mein khana bahut achha milta, kha lo. Govinda bahut achha hai, go eat. Yeah? See? What we choose based on? Attraction. And where does that attraction come? Hearing. Isn't it? And even reasoning comes from hearing. Someone has come back from Switzerland and you are thinking to go to Switzerland. Mat jao udhar. Bekar hai. Sab hype hai bas. Jidhar dekho baraf. Fridge mein laake khaa le. All the way to Switzerland to watch baraf. So cold and chilling, freezing. My God. Rational reasoning, attraction is all based on hearing and reading reviews of people. You go to the internet and type anything in the Google search, you will find review after review after review, some critical, some good, and that confuses the person even more. Now should I choose or should I not choose? Then he takes an average. 25 good, 3 bad. Reasoning. People's choice is based on attraction and reasoning. And attraction and reasoning comes by the process of hearing. Shravanam. And for Rukmini Devi also, her choice of Krishna was based on both. She was attracted to Krishna and she had solid reasoning to expect Krishna. Her attraction to Krishna was so spontaneous. That is the power of hearing from great souls. When the brahmanas and the different sellers from Vrindavan would come to the palace of Rukmini, Shripad Vallabhacharya in Shri Subodhani commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, he explains that a princess in those days would be in her inner chambers and only on specific occasions, accompanied by her sakis and colleagues, friends, she would come outside. And no one except the father and the maid servants or a brother would have entry into the room. So Rukmini was not even sitting in the courtyard according to Vallabhacharya, in the court of the king according to Vallabhacharya. The brahmanas and the people who would come from Vrindavan talking about Krishna, especially the brahmanas, because they were so pure. They were so pious, pure and clean, and they did not have an iota of desire to exploit the other party whom they were speaking to. Therefore, Shripad Vallabhacharya explains that they had entry into the inner chambers. So that was a private coaching class actually, where Rukmini was sitting and the brahmanas would come and private tuition. They would speak about Krishna very spontaneously, and by hearing about Krishna, she got attracted. This is the Lord of my life. This is the man of my life. This is the master whom I want to choose. But that was based on sheer attraction. But she didn't allow simply attraction to rule, which most all of us do. Even in wedlocks today, in most marriages today, attraction and obsession seems to be the ruling factor. When attraction and obsession seems the ruling factor, how long does it last? The obsession goes away, the attraction goes away. How long will it last? All that stays is a sense of responsibilities and each other's idiosyncrasies. What else lasts? You know? And therefore, the whole thing wasn't just based on attraction. Rukmini, out of hearing about Krishna's glory, had developed strong reasoning. And if you carefully read the prayers that Rukmini is chanting for Krishna, she's saying, why Krishna? Not just Krishna. I want Krishna. I want Krishna. Why? Oh, I can't be without him. I can't be. That's okay. But why Krishna? Therefore, all this sentimental attraction to Krishna and chanting and Krishna consciousness without the proper reasoning or philosophy of Krishna consciousness doesn't last long. It either just fades away or it turns into some cheap sahajiyavad. Therefore, attraction has to be very solidly backed up by proper reasoning. Why do you think Srila Prabhupada gave so many books? If it was just attraction, we could have had nice deities here, come and chanted, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. We could have just chanted. We could have just said, get attracted to Krishna, Prabhu. Attraction. Krishna is the most beautiful. Krishna. Who cares? with some sentiment. And therefore, when we hear, not only do we get attraction, but along with attraction, there is a solid reasoning, philosophy, why Krishna consciousness? Not that we just want to follow Krishna consciousness, but why do we want to follow Krishna consciousness? Therefore, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he was once saying that life is a moment by moment choice. 1 year, even on the moment deathbed, 1 year Krishna will whisper, and in another year Maya will whisper. In 1 year Gopal, in the other year Shishupal. Choice is ours. No one can force that choice on anyone. We have to choose. Rukmini chose Krishna over Shishupal, which he chose. And therefore, it's quite interesting that all of us lives are so much based on choosing. In spiritual life, Krishna consciousness, spiritual advancement means how much we narrow down the possibility of choosing something else. How do we know we are advancing? We know we are advancing when every single time we are confronted by a choice, we choose Krishna. And we will be constantly confronted by these choices. You know, should I criticize him or not? The mind is saying, bol de, criticize, doesn't matter, you know, criticize, say it. Do we choose that? Or do we choose to refrain from it and keep quiet? That's what shows whether we are making spiritual progress. Spiritual progress is completely based on the choices we make, and the fact that we are making the right choices shows us that we are making spiritual progress or advancement. You know, like Arjuna, when he was trying to shoot that bird's eye, when he was a little boy, said, shoot the eye. He couldn't see anything else. Everything was narrowed down. There was no distraction. The choice was very clear, completely focused on the target to shoot it. You know, one lady was in the kitchen and she's telling her husband from the kitchen, what are you doing? And the husband, what he had done, he didn't like his wife. So he had made that dart board and he put the picture at the center and he was throwing darts at her photo because she didn't like. But he was missing the target all the time. It was not going on. So she was asking from the kitchen, what are you doing? He said, missing you. I'm missing you all the time. And I think in our lives also we are constantly missing our target, isn't it? The bullseye is very clear. Krishna. And anything that is dear to Krishna. And therefore advancement means we narrow down our choices. There is a choice between eating prasad and non-prasad. We will wait to eat prasad. There is a choice between eating prasad cooked by a devotee and something that is not cooked by a devotee and offered to Krishna. We will choose the prasad cooked by a devotee. We will always have choices. And the more we narrow down our choices to Krishna, that is spiritual advancement. And how do we make those choices again? How to choose now? First, of course, is hearing. Regularly hearing. And attraction to Krishna won't come overnight. How many of you are North Indians here? Good. And all North Indians know very well that rice is not on their list. Rotis are. How many of you are South Indians here? Good. And how many South Indians know that rotis are not on their list? Rice is. And how many are everyone else? Then we know how to eat both. And enjoy life. One or the other, isn't it? But it's not that South Indians didn't have chapatis. It's just that over chapatis, so many years of eating rice, there's no taste for chapati now. And it's not that North Indians didn't have rice. The finest rice grows in Punjab. And they eat rice only for festivals, Punjabis. It's not that they didn't have rice. But over a years of eating roti, now rice has no taste for rice. Similarly, these people will develop taste for one item over a long period of time. Similarly, right now we have taste for the love affairs of this world. Overnight our taste won't change. South Indian ka rice overnight nahi aaya, North Indian ka roti overnight nahi aaya. Decades and centuries went till you get taste for that. Similarly, as time passes and we hear,
the same thing over and over and over again. We will say only roti. Srimad Bhagavatam. No rice. Material subjects. Those who like rice, I'm not comparing. That's just coming to my mind. Main to bolega, hamare rice ko material bola. All the rice lovers will come and kill me if I say that. Just as a comparison, that's straight off coming to my head. The second very important way which helps us making choice, one is of course hearing regularly. Second is association. Association gives us two things. The first thing that association gives us is inspiration. When we see other people choosing na, apne ko bhi ek din lagne lagta hai, mujhe bhi karna chahiye. If you are not surrounded by people who make the right choices, we are surrounded by people who constantly make wrong choices. What will we do? Who is our inspiration? Who are our role models? Who are our examples? People who are making wrong choices. So in such kind of company and association, how are we going to make the right choices? When we are surrounded by devotees who are constantly making right choices, you can imagine His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, as Giriraj Das Brahmachari then, fighting the court case for Juhu, goes to the court for a case and is sitting in the court, and one of the persons who was involved with the whole episode sent a prostitute to seduce him. Most great saintly souls always have had such kind of tests and challenges. And Giriraj Maharaj, I heard the story told by him personally. And she was sitting right next to him, she came and sat there. And she started with her feet, you know, attracting Giriraj Das Brahmachari then by, you know, tangling her feet with his. And young man, young American man, coming from the United States of America, so easy to get completely overwhelmed by these kind of things. But the only thing that came to his mind was this. No matter what she does and no matter how tempting it is, what will Srila Prabhupada think? And how will Srila Prabhupada respond to what is happening with me? And like this, he made that choice. Imagine being surrounded by great personalities, devotees, who all constantly keep making the right choices. In such association, when we see them making those right choices, we are inspired. And not only are we inspired, such association gives us the strength to make those right choices also. Ourselves, we are weak. How many of us have realized making the right choice is not easy? Even if it is a second samosa or prasad, and we feel, nahi khana chahi, itna mota ho gaya main. But you know, but if you have another devotee saying, Prabhuji, tongue control, wait. You know? And therefore, good association gives us inspiration and strength. And the third way to make the right choices is choose the right thing. You get a good hearing, good association, but if we don't choose, the choice is never going to be strong. We have to choose. No one's going to choose for you. You know, no one's going to choose for you. No one can choose your husband or wife. No one can choose your guru. No one can choose anything for you. You have to choose. All of us have to choose. We have to choose based on the hearing, based on the inspiration, based on the strength. We have to make a choice. And we have become very weak, extremely weak in making the right choices. Temptations overwhelm us. All these attractions overpower us. And we just can't see how to do it. All of us say, Malum hai Prabhuji. मालूम है ये चॉइस करना चाहिए. मालूम नहीं ऐसा है क्या? संडे भागवतम, भागवतम क्लास में, प्रभुपाद की किताब में क्या पढ़ा है? सब मालूम है. होता क्यों नहीं है? Why can't I do it? Why can't I choose Krishna over others? Rukmini chose Krishna over Shishupal. She didn't bother about Rukmini and Shishupal. Why can't I every moment choose the right thing that Krishna wants? Why can't I put a lock on my lips and not criticize devotees? I know it's wrong. I know it's harmful. I know it's disastrous. Still, I just blurt things out and later I realize, God, what did I do? I shouldn't have said it. Even behind his or her back. You know? How do we do it? We have to take the first step of choosing.
if we don't do it at least once, we are never going to make the right choice and make our choice muscle strong. How many of you do exercise? How many of you honor prasad daily? See, the exercise number is so less. People say exercise. We are Hare Krishna devotees. We don't do exercise. I have told one previous class, right? So we don't do dieting, we die eating. We don't do dieting. In the Hare Krishna temple, there is no dieting. We only die eating. That's what we are known for. God, my goodness. Sometimes I see people, all these young men today, they are obsessed with their physical looks. How much exercise they do. They want the six-pack abs and all of this, and their obliques, and they go and they show off all of these things. And most of the devotees don't do exercise, so they never get six-pack abs. They get family pack. They get a nice big family pack, and there's no six-pack abs. It's a big flap and family pack that comes to them. But I know people who do a lot of exercise, and I speak to them. And in speaking to them, they'll tell you push-ups, you pull-ups, and you push-up, you pull-up, you push-up, you pull-up, and your muscles become strong. Go to a gym, and you push-up, you pull-up, you push-up, you pull-up, you push-up, you pull-up. God, your muscles become strong, don't they? Everyone wants to go to a gym and make their physical muscles strong. Have you thought of a spiritual gym where to make your choice muscles strong? Our choice muscles have become so weak that every now and then, we keep making wrong choice despite knowing what is the right thing. Why? Because our muscles have become strong. Wo temptation aata hai to andar se push hi nahi kar sakta kyunki aisa khidkhida lukda sukda ho gaya hai wo muscle. Shakti nahi hai wo temptation ko aisa push karne ka. Weak, skinny, weakling. You know? And therefore, to make the choice muscle strong, His Holiness Devamrita Swami, in His book, The Bhakti Bhav, very beautifully explains. Nice, I really like it. I really like the perspective he gives. How many of you had trouble in your chanting? Not rounds. He's chant 16 rounds, but in the attention levels? Any of you ever had any distracting thoughts? Not any, only distracting thoughts, isn't it? So constantly the distracting thoughts. And how many of you have felt, ye Krishna samajhte kyun nahi hai? Any of you ever felt like that? You know? Krishna samajhte nahi, I want to do it rightly, no? Why doesn't he help? Any of you ever felt like that in chanting? Why does Krishna not help me? I want to chant attentively, focus, and look at him, he's nonchalantly sitting there and just watching Tumar. Why is he so nonchalantly sitting there and watching? Oh my God. So Devamrita Swami, in his book Bhakti Bhav, gives a very interesting perspective. And he says, whenever there is a distracting thought in the mind when we are trying to chant Hare Krishna, he says we must take it as a thought sent by Krishna personally. Take it as a thought which Krishna has personally sent into your mind. Whether it's exam anxieties, whether it's fighting between spouses, whether it is children not behaving, whether it is health issues, whatever. As the mind is being occupied and distracted, we are saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and the mind is being distracted by these multifarious thoughts. He says, take these thoughts as Krishna sent in our mind. And why has Krishna sent us these thoughts in our mind? Because He wants us to enter into a new gymnasium. He doesn't use that word, of course, I'm using it. He wants us to enter into a new gymnasium, the spiritual gymnasium, where we'll build our choice muscles. How? By pushing it out. Push up, pull up, push up, pull up. You make your muscles. So what's our gym? Push out, push in. Push out, push in. Push out the distraction and pull in the bead. Push out the distraction and pull in the bead. As we learn how to neglect and try to push these distractions out. It's not easy. But as we try to push these distractions out, that is when Devamrita Swami says our choice muscles become strong. So Krishna sends these thoughts only as the weights to push out and thereby build our spiritual health and choice muscles. Welcome to the Japa gym. So every morning there is push out and pull in. Pull in a bead with a name.
and we try to push out these distracting thoughts with whatever spiritual energy we have. So Rukmini made that choice. Based on her attraction, her hearing, she chose Krishna. She was attracted. She had proper reasoning to choose Krishna. And when she chose Krishna, you think life was easy? No. The second C that came in Rukmini's life, first was a choice. She chose Krishna. And the immediate second thing was challenges. You make the right choice, you will have challenges. Make the right wrong choice, no challenge. We make the wrong choices, what will our wrong choices be challenged? Maya wants us to be there. Why will we be challenged? Material energy wants us to make the wrong choices, and if we make, she will say more. Go ahead. And deeply pull us down. But as soon as we want to make the right choice, if you decide to get up early in the morning, you think it is an easy thing to do? You will be challenged by the alarm clock in the morning. You'll be challenged by your body aches. And as soon as you decide to sleep until 11 o'clock, any challenge? No problem. Mother, father are challenged sometimes. But that's okay. You know. So as soon as Rukmini decided to choose Krishna, challenges to stop her from choosing Krishna. Rukmini was the greatest challenge. You cannot choose Krishna. You have to choose Shishupal. All of us have also had such challenges, isn't it? How many young students have had challenges of parents? You cannot choose Krishna. What about our Kuldevta? What about studies? What about marriage? If you go there, your hairstyle will change. They will say like that, you know. My God. As soon as you choose, that will be a challenge. Therefore, parents will say, beta, upar upar karne ka, jyada ghusne ka nahi andar. You go upar upar. Don't go too deep. If you go too deep, your hair goes away, your clothes color changes. Don't go too deep. Be a surfer. Don't be a diver. Just surf on the waves of Krishna consciousness. Don't dive deep into the waves of Krishna consciousness. Challenge, no? Challenge. And I'll tell you, this challenge is very good for young bachelors. Teenagers love these. Because whatever parents say, they want to do exactly the opposite. For some reason, they shouldn't be doing it like that. They shouldn't be doing it like that. But wo teenage hi aisa hai. Jo bhi bolenge, ulta karenge. Therefore, when devotees tell their children, chant. They will chant cinema song. And when parents are not devotees and they say, don't chant. Definitely I will chant. It's just how it is. Just the challenge triggers that response from people, you know. And then there is, between spouses, there is fighting, misunderstanding, difficulties in relationships. They want to serve Krishna. And suddenly there's a big challenge to not make the right choice. As a confrontation to our making the right choice. Health issues, my God. Health issues, a fracture in your foot. Hare Krishna. I had this fracture and I have a cast on my foot. And I'm walking with crutches. And the kind of crazy questions people ask me. I can't imagine. One guy is asking me last Sunday, I'm walking with crutches. Pair mein laga hai. Main bola nahin, langdi khel raha hoon main. Crutches lenge. What question are they asking? Langdi khel raha hoon ke pair mein laga nahin, toh cast aur crutch kyun leke chal raha hoon. Strange questions they'll ask you. And then one guy comes up to me, one elderly devotee only, like a fatherly, grandfatherly figure. I was sitting to go somewhere in the courtyard. He's touching my caste. I don't even know him. Like, itna wo parental affection, na. You know when you have something like this, people just suddenly get the sympathy and you know, everyone's like, he's doing like this. Arey, Bhagwan bhaktum ko bhi nahi chhodte, ha? Telling me, Bhagwan bhaktum ko bhi nahi chhodte. The first thing I wanted to tell him, mere bhai, main devotee nahi hu, I'm not a devotee. And even otherwise, what do you think? Krishna doesn't give challenges?
Chanting Hare Krishna takes your physical challenges away. Chanting Hare Krishna suddenly makes parents all favorable. Beta, I will put tilak. Mother says, duke it. I will put tilak. Sit better. She puts tilak as a, you know, like in childhood they put powder on the soil, put tilak on the powder. What are you saying, you know? Suddenly things change because you're a devotee, Hare Krishna devotee. As soon as we make the right choices, there is always going to be so many massive challenges, you know. And the easiest challenges to handle are external challenges. They're not a big deal. Health and all of that. Of course, even devotees in our movement, even health challenges like cancer, they've easily taken it their stride and with a smile on their face left this world. Many external challenges with Krishna on our side are handleable. But the greater objection to our making the choice of Krishna every now and then is not external. We blame the externals. Main japa theek se nahi kar pa raha hu, kya karu, thakka rehta hu na, Bombay mein rehta hu. Bombay mein kaise acha japa ho sakta hai Prabhu? Itna awaaz hai horn ka udhar udhar, kaise acha japa ho sakta hai? Prabhu local train se travel karta hu, kaise acha japa ho sakta hai? We will always blame external situations. The greatest challenge for our right choices is internal challenges, not external. If our boys just treat the parents nicely, lovingly, caringly, and not be fanatics with them, even they change eventually. Spouses who are just constantly nagging and cribbing and fighting with each other, even if they get good guidance, spiritual guidance, even that external situation may change. Health crises come and go. But the internal challenges, how many of you have experienced laziness? Thank you. Anyone experienced lethargy in Krishna consciousness? All of us. Anyone experienced complacency? Ho gaya mala. Roj wahi mantra hai. Koi mantra mein bhi variation nahi hai. Same thing every day. Complacency. Anyone experienced envy towards other? Anyone experienced a massive mountainous false ego? My opinion is not heard. My opinion is not heard, as if my opinion is the be all and the end all and the center of the universe. My opinion is not heard. These external challenges are easy to handle. But the internal challenges, my God, stop us from making the right choices, no? Hare Krishna. What to do, you know? With these internal challenges, we become helpless. Overwhelmed and helpless we feel sometimes. Rukmini was just an external challenge. Rukmini had no internal challenge. She had already given her heart. For us there is external and internal, and the case becomes doubly difficult. For her it was only internally she was fully for Krishna. For us externally it's hard, and internally also it's hard. Maybe not Krishna, maybe it's okay, but not sure. You know, it's really difficult to make those kind of choices. What does one do in such situations? Externally we can still seek guidance and counsel, but internally there's no choice but to call out for Krishna's holy names. There is no choice but to pray intensely that Krishna, I'm helpless. Gopinath mama nivedana shuno vishai durjana sada pape rata kichu nahi mora guna. Gopinath manaje pagala mora. Gopinath manaje pagala moram, mad mind. Na mane shasan, doesn't listen. That Rukmini will listen. But the Rukmini inside just doesn't listen. Sada achetana vishay rekheche ghora. But Gopinath, you are Rishikesh. You can control the mind. And therefore offering a prayer and intensely chanting is the only way to. Calling out for Krishna is the way to deal with these internals. Association is all there. In the association we are envious. In the association we feel envious. In the Srimad Bhagavatam class our thoughts are nasty. You know? And therefore, calling out is such a powerful way to pray to Krishna. One man was offering a prayer. God, please listen to my prayer, listen to my prayer. And suddenly from the clouds there was double tick. Blue.
WhatsApp.
God heard the prayer. Sometimes we feel, sun raha hai ki nahi yaar? Wo double click aa raha hi nahi japa mein. I sent my WhatsApp message. Did he read? My japa doesn't show a double blue tick. Doesn't show a double blue tick. Has he read my message? How many of you felt, sun raha hai kya Krishna? Jap karte to sun raha hai kya Krishna? Mujhe to malum hai ki aap mera class sun rahe hain. Isliye main bol raha hu. Agar aap bhi aisa nahi sunenge to mujhe dene ka kyun, I'll walk off. Sun rahe hai kya Krishna? Sitting there and fingering your beads and lipping the holy name, is he hearing? When will I get a double blue tick? Red. Or red to red? Many divorces happened in the recent past because the message was read but the husband did not reply back. So the wife said, he is only reading my message, is not responding. Talak, talak, talak. My God. Will we do that? Are read kar raha hai, respond. Read to ho gaya lagta hai. Send a message. WhatsApp. Some taste. Some reduction of the internal rukmis. 25 saal ho gaya, 40 saal ho gaya, rukmi chup hone ka naam hi nahi leta hai andar se. God, prayer, calling out is the way, you know. There was a lady called Laura Huxley, 1965-66, and an American boy whose name was Bruce, later became Brahmanand Prabhu. He read in Laura Huxley's book before meeting Srila Prabhupada, that in order to meditate, you have to either meditate on the beach near the ocean because there is negative ions that affect your mind, or you have to meditate on a mountain because you are close to Garden, higher up. So he would go to a beach and sit in the hot sun like Vikram Yoga. If you don't know what it is, don't worry. He would sit in the hot sun and meditate. And son's American body, you know, the perspiration dripping off, coming from his eyebrow, going on the nose and slowly dripping off the lips and coming down, he would still sit like that. But his meditation would all be on the trickling perspiration going down. And he writes in his book, how he used to only think, kab aayega niche? Constantly thinking like that. So when he met Srila Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, isn't it good to meditate on the beach near the ocean so you get negative ions? Or you go on top of a mountain and meditate and you're close to God so God hears your prayer? Srila Prabhupada said, that is all nonsense. He said, just because you go on top of a mountain, that doesn't mean you're close to God. God is everywhere. You sit here and chant. He made him chant Hare Krishna. And then Brahmanand Prabhu shares the story of how Prabhupada was giving lecture at 26 Second Avenue, and he was sitting in there, and some guys, some close children there, started coming there and making such a loud sound and laughing loudly and mocking Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was nonchalantly, quietly giving the lecture, and Brahmanand Prabhu got up and came out and blah, 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 chased them away. After a while they again came, again halla gulla, shouting, laughing. This time Brahmanand Prabhu went, chased them, gave them, you know, and came back. Things were settled, accounts were settled. That night, those boys came and took a brick and threw it at the window of the 26th Second Avenue temple. And the whole glass window cracked and broke open. Tud gaya, kaach. And in those days, they didn't have money to even replace it. Next, Prabhupada didn't know that. This happened in the night. Next morning, Srila Prabhupada walked down for class. And he looked at the window and immediately sensed what had happened. And he looked at Brahmananda Prabhu and turned towards him and said, when the chanting is on, Maya is away. Which basically meant, if you would have just continued with the hearing and chanting, boys wouldn't have cared much. Why did you have to go and chase the boys away and hit them, that look what they have done to us now? When chanting is on, Maya is away. If we chase Maya, Maya will get back with a brick. Daivi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya. If we try to chase Maya away on our own, she is going to come back with a brick and give it on our minds. But if we take shelter of the holy name of Krishna, when chanting is on, Srila Prabhupada said, Maya is away. And Brahmananda Prabhu quotes, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada said, the safest place in the material world, you know what? He said, the safest place in the material world for a devotee is the kirtan of the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. And when we participate in sankirtan, then there is no question of the material energy easily influencing us. Therefore, this world is like a washing machine. Washing machine mein kapda dalo, to kya prem se aisa ghumta hai wo? Hari bo. Hari bo. Like that? Oh. In a washing machine, clothes are twisted, there is twisting, there is spinning, there is knocking around, but at the end, the cloth comes out clean, brighter and better than before. Lord Krishna created this material world to be a washing machine, to wash our rebellion against Him off. And if He wants to wash it off, He has to twist us, turn us, spin us, knock us. And that knocking, spinning, twisting, turning comes in the form of Rukmis outside, and more than that, Rukmis inside. And when we try and fight those challenges based on our shelter of the holy name, we come out cleaner, brighter and ever better than before. So Rukmini did not accede to that challenge. And therefore the third C in this story is commitment. First C is choice. Second C is challenges when you make the right choice. The third C is commitment. And what is defined as commitment? When we make a choice, despite all the challenges, all the obstacles, all the troubles, when one still does not change his or her choice, that is called as commitment. What is commitment? So many difficulties are there, so many problems are there, maybe I should change my choice. Rukmini should have thought, no? Arey, my brother is going to do this, my father is against it, Kundinapur, what is this? I think, maybe I should go for Shishupal actually. It's okay. Krishna is fine, but you know the difficulties, abhi kya practical, you have to be practical, Prabhu. How can you can't live in an idealistic world, no? You have to be practical, thoda kabhi compromise karna padta hai. As soon as we become compromising and change our choice in troubled times, then we don't have commitment to whatever we do in life. Our commitments change like anything. You know, change our commitments, we change our choices. One lady was going in a car, the guy and the girl, and she was about to be married to him or whatever. So he was driving the car, and it was an Audi Q7, one of the most high-end cars. And this man, very while driving, looked at her and said, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you one thing actually. She said, what? She's like nervous. My marriage is not going to happen. I didn't tell you one thing. I'm married. He said, oh, that, no, that's okay. I thought you were going to say that this car is not yours. You know, marriage, that's okay. I thought you were going to say this is Audi Q7 is not yours. Are, commitment badalna. Whether it's a married relationship, whether it's a course, whether it's any other relationship, whether it's Krishna consciousness, when things don't work and there are obstacles and challenges, to change our choice is so easy. And therefore commitment is very, very crucial and important. And in this month of book distribution, the devotees of Srila Prabhupada, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, what kind of commitment? They don't change their choice of service. When they try to serve, they don't change their choice of service. Continuously just serving in challenging circumstances. In our Soho Street temple in London, we have one devotee, his name is Radha Londoneshwar Prabhu. He came here earlier. Very nice devotee, very sweet singer, very beautiful, very, very sweet devotee. And he used to go out distributing books. And 1 year in the marathon, he was out. In marathon in London, December, it's -2, -4, sometimes -6. And in this challenging circumstances, distributing the books, this man, in this, he went to a place at Oxford, a place called Sloane Square. It's very, a lot of different embassies of different countries are there. So, very high-end customers you get there. So, he went there. He was standing
for over 5 to 6 hours trying to catch people, give out books in the freezing cold with very less warm clothes on his body. And as he's trying to do that, you know, one man walks up to him, very affluent man, British man, Western person, dressed up very meticulously, and he came up to Radha Landaneeswar Prabhu and says, "Hey man, I've been sitting in this coffee shop for the last 1 hour and I've been watching you for the last 1 hour in this freezing cold. You're trying to sell this book to people out there, and I see in the last 1 hour you tried to stop so many people. Most people didn't even bother to stop, and those who did didn't even buy the book. In the last 1 hour you probably sold like 2 or 3 books. What are you doing it for? Is this your business?" Radha Landaneeswar Prabhu said, "No, this is not my business. This is called devotional service." So the man was more confused. He said, "What is devotional service?" He said, "We are trying to bring God to people through this book. And can you see this picture?" He showed Prabhupada's picture. "This is the person who wrote these books. And my guru has told me that I should give out these books to people on the streets, sell books on the street." He said, "Can you tell me who you were earlier? What's your background?" So Radha Landaneeswar Prabhu said, "I'm from such and such family, my parents are such and such, and I hold a degree in music. I'm a professional musician, and I was doing this, I was in concert, blah, blah, blah," so many things he said. And after that, this man said, "Well, we have to sit and talk. Why? Why did he give up such a promising career to come up and do this?" He said, "Devotional service." He said, "Look, I want to understand what this devotional service is. Just close by here is Costa Coffee. Let's walk down to the Costa Coffee. And over coffee, you please tell me what is this devotional service for which you are standing in the freezing cold and selling books. And hardly 2 or 3 you sold in the last 1 hour." He said, "Well, no, I can't go. I have 50 books more in my box. Till I sell this, I won't drink even water." He said, "What the hell are you saying, man? Last so long I'm watching, you won't drink or eat anything. What are you getting?" He said, "Devotional service." He said, "Man, I want to know what this devotional service is." He said, "I can't tell you now. Here's my contact card. You come to the temple and I'll talk to you there. Right now, please leave me. There are people walking by. I have to sell this 50 books. He said, no. He said, "How much does each book cost?" He said, £5. That's about today 500 rupees in India. £5. He said, "I will buy all 50. He purchased all the 50 books, gave him £250, said, "Let's go to Costa Coffee and tell me what is devotional service." So then, because the books were gone now, so he took his £250, 50 Geetas distributed in the marathon for £250. Which generally people would give you a donation of some pence or some £1. He got £250 of 50 Geetas. Went to the Costa Coffee and they both sat. Said, "Coffee?" The man asks him, "We don't drink coffee." "Why? Why?" "Devotional service." "Man, I want to understand what this devotional service is all about." So then this guy says, "Okay, look, whatever else said and done, you don't take coffee, decaf?" Said, "No. There's some traces of caffeine left in there. We don't drink." "Say, some juice, sir, some juice." He said, "Yeah, that will be okay." So some juice was ordered. He kept it in front of the glass and he said, "Are you doing some interplanetary communication? Or what? Take this glass, what are you murmuring?" And he said, No. "We are offering it to Krishna." "Why?" "Devotional service." He said, "Now crack the heck of it. Tell me what is devotion." And then he gave him a 2 hours class. What is devotional service? So Radha Landaneeswar Prabhu distributed 50 Geetas, got £250, got a free juice, and in the middle got a chance to give a Bhagavatam class during book distribution. Went to the Soho Street temple, got more books for the evening and started distributing. You know? And therefore challenges are always there. Internal and external challenges of lethargy, laziness, outside, inside. But the commitment means, no matter what, I won't change my choice. This man, just because he says, "What are you doing? I'll give you a better job," I won't change my choice. Therefore, Kadam Kanan Maharaj was once explaining that there are three layers in ISKCON. On the topmost layer is the institution. The middle layer is the process of Krishna consciousness. And the deepest layer is Krishna. On the topmost layer is the institution. We run an institution, we manage institutions. And very often when we come first, we get attracted to the institution. Institution is very attractive. Amazing. What queue management. Oh, they have queue managers here. Wow. What immaculate cleanliness. Incredible. Look at the usherers. Wow. It's attracted by the institutional protocols and management. As we spend a little more time, we get attracted by the process of hearing, process of chanting. But very often we get stuck with the process and don't go to the deeper layer of being attracted to Krishna. And if a commitment comes, then you have attraction for Krishna, not just the process. Even people who had attraction for the process left the process and went away. But unless we cultivate attraction for Krishna, there's no stability in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in our devotional service, we all want everything instant, you know, instant coffee. And we want instant prem also. Like instant prem. Instant coffee, instant prem. Doesn't happen, isn't it? Someone asked a devotee, what is that? How do you get Krishna prem like this, Prabhu? Instant. This devotee said three words. Chant, Hare Krishna. Great commitment. And then this devotee added, there are three words, but it takes three lifetimes to realize what those three words are. And this commitment means to not change our choice. Even if Hare Krishna doesn't cure our disease, we won't go to any other place. They're thinking that Krishna has done, let me do this now or let me not do. The fourth C in this episode, after getting the commitment, is the connection. And what is the connection? Rukmini realized, I chose Krishna. Rukmi is the challenge to my getting Krishna. I'll not give up my commitment and change my choice to Shishupal. But how do I communicate to Krishna? How do I send my message across to Krishna? There is a connection needed. And that is Guru. That is the spiritual master. The tattva of the spiritual master is, we may have make the choice, we may have challenges, we may have commitment also, but until there is someone who will bring our message to Krishna, Krishna's grace doesn't come in our life. Therefore, Rukmini then wrote this letter with the message and sent it to Krishna through this Brahmana messenger. And then when Krishna read that letter, grace came. Therefore, Sri Guru, the spiritual master, gratitude to the spiritual master, service to the spiritual master, commitment to the words of the spiritual master, taking the instructions of the spiritual master very seriously, such a crucial thing. Because choice, challenges, even commitment may be there, but it's not going only. WhatsApp message not reaching, server down. The server is on only when Guru turns it on. Guru turns the server on, then the message goes red, and not just two tick marks blue, there is a response back, you know. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada was initiating a devotee, British devotee, and he gave him the name. He said, so, your new name will be Kishore Das. And then he said, so you know what is the meaning of the name Kishore? He was new. He said, no, Prabhupada, I don't. Prabhupada said, Kishore means the young adolescent enjoyer of the gopis of Vrindavan. And he was looking really happy. And then Prabhupada said, Kishore is Krishna. You should remember your Kishore Das. You should not think that you are the young adolescent enjoyer of the gopis of Vrindavan. You are Kishore Das. And it's so beautiful that the spiritual master gives us the greatest title that can be had in the three universes. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, the greatest title anyone can have is not Dilit. The greatest title anyone can have is not Lord or Lady. The greatest title that anyone can have is Das, a servant of Guru and the Vaishnavas and the servant of Krishna. And it's not just a title, but it's an attitude of wanting to serve. Therefore, our Upanishads explain, Samit Panihi Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. The disciple stands with Samit Panihi, Pani. Pani means hands.
And in the hands, what is the disciple holding? Samit. Samit Pani. Samit is firewood for the sacrifice of the Guru. So when the disciple collects the firewood for the sacrifice of the Guru and goes and gives it to the Guru, it's not the wood. It's the service attitude that pleases the Guru so much that that firewood extinguishes the fire of material existence. You know, samsara dava nalalidha loka tranaya karunya ghanaghanatvam praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vande guruhu shri charanaravindam. That fire of material existence is then extinguished. And therefore, when the Guru comes in our life and gives the letter to Krishna, our appeal to Krishna, and brings Krishna in our life, then Krishna comes to snatch Rukmini away from the clutches of Rukmi and Shishupal. So Krishna comes. He definitely comes. The next C is composure. After getting that connection, Krishna still didn't come. Aaye nahi. Abhi bhi nahi aaye. Abhi tak nahi aaye. Kyun nahi aaye? Did he receive my message? Did he not get my message? Constant anxiety as she is walking to the temple of Goddess Ambika. When will Krishna come? When will Krishna come? Has he heard? How many of you called someone on your phones? Have you called someone on your phones? Of course. And when you call someone on your phone, sometimes do you realize that the other person from the side is saying, "Hello? Hello?" And you're thinking, "Bhai, main behra nahi, dheere bol." Why are you shouting so loudly, "Hello? Hello?" He's shouting from the other side. And he's not able to hear you. Why? Because there's so much noise in the background, your voice is not reaching him. So what's happening? Therefore he's shouting, "Hello? Hello?" So we are chanting, "Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare!" Sun raha hai kya? No sound coming back. No reciprocity. Is he coming? Is he coming? Has he heard my prayers? But how will we hear Krishna's voice when there's so much sound in the background? So much noise of desire in the background. Even if Krishna reciprocates, can't feel it, right? And therefore, Rukmini Devi, the next Siva, she was completely composed, anxious. But how did she gain her composure? This verse says the Brahman Patnis were giving hope. You pray to Ambika. Pray to Ambika for Krishna. Ambika will help you. You know, when devotees are in trouble, they lose their composure. What to do? They're just in trouble. When Shrikant Sen, the nephew of Shivananda Sen, was upset that his uncle Shivananda Sen was kicked by Nityananda Prabhu, he was so disturbed. And in that disturbance, he came to Jagannath Puri and he was wearing a shirt and coat and offering obeisances to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Govinda said to him, "No, no, no, you can't offer obeisances like this with shirt and coat. Take it off. Petangi kadiya. Take it off." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Don't say this to him. He's very disturbed in his mind. Don't disturb a disturbed mind by philosophy. Don't ever disturb a disturbed mind by counsel and advice. A disturbed mind needs hope. A disturbed mind needs solace, not advice." So the Brahman Patnis were giving so much comfort to Rukmini Devi. "He'll come. Don't worry, you will marry him only. You will be the one." One girl came to astrologer and said, "Sir, I have two affairs. Which one will be my husband? Who will be the lucky one, the first one or the second one?" The astrologer said, "You will get married to the second, the first one will be the lucky guy." Hare Krishna. So Rukmini Devi constantly going through these anxieties of whether or not Krishna will come. A lot of uncertainty prevailed. I'll tell you, bhakti is a path where when we practice our devotional service, a lot of uncertainty prevails. Tikunga? Nahi tikunga. Shall I remember Krishna at the moment of death? Will I not remember Krishna at the moment of death? So many uncertainties. Bhagavan aayenge ki nahi aayenge? And therefore, the last C, there are many more, till the whole story gets over. The last C for this morning is certainty. There is a certain assurance given by Krishna that if we have the first five, we make the right choice, We fight the challenges. We don't give up our commitment. We keep the connection of the Guru and serve the Guru. We maintain our composure and hope in the association of devotees who give us hope. Then there is certainty that Krishna will come. And Krishna was planning it all. What do you think Krishna wasn't hearing? He got the report and Krishna called Daruka, bring the chariot. And Vallabhacharya explains why he chose Daruka and why the four horses, Shaibya, Manipushpaka, you know, all the four horses, Sugriva. There is a reason why those four horses to go search for Rukmini. Full plan was on. But he comes, certainly he comes, but he comes by his watch, not by our watch. By our watch we are thinking, अरे साढ़े दस बज गया, वो लंदन से फोन क्यों नहीं कर रहा है, वो सो रहा है. They function by their watch and we are functioning by our watch. He functions by his watch and we function by our watch. We are saying, Krishna, watch adjust कर लो ना थोड़ा आपका. Adjust to my watch and do it immediately. Patiently we wait. There is certainty with no doubts in the mind. Krishna comes and miraculously blesses us with his grace. And that is the day we all await. As Krishna on his chariot, along with whom? He doesn't come alone. With the Brahmana on the chariot. So one day Guru and Krishna will come on that chariot. As after having fought all our challenges in our life, we breathe our last and get rescued from the Rukmis and the Shishupals of this world. And Krishna takes us back to the spiritual world, Golok Vrindavan, and then there is Rukmini Krishna Vivaha, an incredible service to Krishna. So choice, challenges, commitment, connection, composure and certainty are the six C's that we get from this beautiful episode of Krishna kidnapping Rukmini. Wish to thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupad ki jai. Request all the devotees to kindly remain seated for a few minutes. Baldev Prabhu will make a few announcements. Hare Krishna.